You place no one above. We look you in high water, you look low. And we thank you for being so real in our life. Your God, continue to be glorified through this worship experience of your people, Lord God. We just want to let you know we love you. Because you first loved us. Now have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we do that one more time? Come on, y'all. Come on, one more time. Come on, one more time. Come on, one more time. Determined that we're going to glorify the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
You know, y'all pray for me, the Lord, give me a voice. Now, don't do that, then I'll never stop saying. If I had a voice, I'd sing all day long. Man, I just love worshiping the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. And that's what we want to have to talk about today as we conclude our little mini-series on scriptures. One more time. Anybody remember? Yeah, scriptures and the keys of life. Remember we talked about we have songs and the keys of life, and we believe that God gave us scriptures that are keys to this life. And we ought to be able to use those, and especially at times like these, we can get back to the Word of God. And the Word of God will sustain us through all things. Amen? We just rely on it. So in week one, we jumped into the book of Philippians, and we talked about that we ought to have some joy in our lives. Amen? We ought to be rejoicing what? In the Lord what? How many times? Always, at all times, because it's something internal, not external, amen? It did not rely on our what, situations, circumstances, and what else? It's silence, it's quickest of an hour. Situations, circumstances, and obstacles. That's what somebody said. Okay, we'll go with that. And we said we ought to rejoice. Let our reasonableness be known, right? That's where we got the word magnanimous from. Amen. We're magnanimous people, right? We are generous in our giving and our forgiving. Amen. And then we do that what? That we ought to do it because what? The Lord is at hand, which means he's returning soon. And that ought to dictate our behaviors. We know that God is coming back. Amen. And then week two, we jumped in the book of Hebrews and went to 12, 1 and 2. And we had a what? An antidote for what? For where? We wouldn't worry about these things that's happening in our lives. We said that in order for us to do that, we have to be the most remembering ones. Because we have to remember what the representatives that have gone before us. We looked at Hebrews 11 and talked about all of those who were what? That hall of faith that we talked about. Then we realized that we are now what? The representors. Amen. And so because we're the representors, we have what? A responsibility to what? To run this race. Amen, that we're in. Amen. And in order for us to run this race, we have to what? We have to rely on Christ. Amen. And when you get that point, we understand that that's what? By faith. Amen. We do that by faith. And then in week three, which was last week, we got into James 1, 2, and 4. And we talked about how the Lord is what? He's allowing what? Tests and things to come into our lives. And in that process, we understand that things are going to come. So we have to do what? We have to what? Prepare ourselves. Amen. We prepare ourselves for the test and the trial that we know are going to be coming. Amen. In order to do that, we're preparing what? Because we want to pass that test. Amen. And we're passing that test by what? By pleasing God. Amen. And so basically that when we do that, we know that we have hope. Amen. We have hope. So y'all begin to put that puzzle together. We will be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because we now have what? Faith. And we now have hope. And so what do you think the day is about? It's about love. See, the scriptures and the key of life, you got to realize, in order for us to rejoice in this life, you got to always have faith. Amen. You got to have hope in the Lord. Amen. You got to have love. And that love goes two ways. We know that the love of God is guaranteed. God is love. Amen. He loves us. Amen. But the thing is, you got to remember that we love him too. Amen. And sometimes what happens to us is that we actually forget that love. And that's why you all of a sudden, you get to have all these issues in your life because you love yourself more than you love God. That's why I read that scripture, you're to love the love of God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You're going to wake up in the morning reciting that scripture because you remember that if I do that, guess what? I'm going to be all right because I already know he loved me. I just got to remember that. Amen. And so I want to talk about this. We close out this mini series. I want to talk about that type of love. So turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 2. Revelations, chapter 2. We want to talk about that love. Amen. Revelation, chapter 2. I'm going to start off in verse 2. When we get there, say amen. Amen. ESV version, it reads like this. Says, I know your works, O Lord, your toil and your patience, endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Isn't that good news? God knows all that about us. But verse 4 and 5 is where I'm going to land. He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned, you have lost, you have forsaken the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Amen. What would you do? We're going to talk about going back to the point where you had that love. Y'all remember that? You've lost your first love. That's what he's saying. Protos agape. Amen. First in time or place of any succession of things or persons. Foremost importance. That love you lost. Some scholars believe that we're talking about the love of Christ, and some say it's for the love of each other. And I'm going to err on the side of good and say it's both. Is that what happens here is we begin to lose that first love that we had when God saved us. That love for God and that love for each other. Y'all remember there used to be a time where it says that I was glad when they said to me, let us go where? We went at the club. It was at the house of the Lord. Help me somebody. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we remember it, and we remember it was an exciting time. I don't know about you, but I can remember my salvation experience. Amen. I can't remember the exact date. I don't get hung up on those birthdays that people like to put on their calendar and say, I was saved on this day. I just know I'm saved. And I know the process that the Lord allowed me to go through in order to grab hold to that salvation. And see, some of us, we get caught up on what it was like when we first fell in love. And see, I'm not talking about that Al Green type of love. Amen. Nor am I talking about that Prince type of love. Happening with that? Well, he kept saying, "I will die for you." Y'all remember that?
Yes.
I'm talking about the one who actually died for it. I'm talking about that love. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about that real, honest to goodness God love. And when we have that understanding about what it was like and you experience that, it gets to a point where you realize that you would do almost anything. Remember that? Y'all remember that? See, when we would actually get to a point where we would do almost anything because God loved us enough to save us. Matthew gives a good depiction of that in Matthew 13, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. And then in his joy," see that rejoicing, "he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field." Remember that? He got to the point where he was in so much in love with God that he got rid of everything else to want to embrace that love that God has for him. Verse 45 says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding that one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." How about that type of love? See, he wants you to understand, he wants you to experience that type of love again. And see, what happens is that we had that love. And then we kind of, as time goes on, we kind of forget, amen, what it was like. It's like the experience that when a man and a woman they first get married. It's an exciting time. Now, some of y'all are not married, don't worry about it. You will, if you do, you'll find out. But those of you who have been married and you were in love, and it was like the husband and the wife were together, they were young and they were in love. And it was like it was the first winter they were together, and the wife got a little cold, you know, a little stiff on the nose, and the husband would say, hey baby, turn that heat up. I'm gonna run to CVS and I'm gonna get you." And he just buys them all the cough medicine, and he comes back home for it, and he takes care of her, and all she did was sniff. Amen. Y'all remember that? Yeah, y'all remember that? Somebody's not walking up. Yeah, they would do those type of things because they were so in love because it was new and it was fresh. Yeah. And then after about 5 years, again, another winter come around and they still together, and all of a sudden she gets this, has a little call, and he sits in the couch, same couch he was last time, and he said, "Hey, babe, turn the heat up." She said, "Well, can you go give me something right now?" You know, he kind of changes his. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, she guys said, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about." And then about 5 more years go by, and another winner comes around, and she's actually coughing and hacking up in the room, and they're sitting together. And he said, "Baby, can you go to the other room watching TV?" It's like I'm not saying he don't still love her. But things just said what they just kind of changed. You know, and see, that's what happens sometimes in Christianity. We don't have that fire. That when the Lord saved us and how we were so in love with him, that's why we sang that song that we just sang, remember? That we love him more than anything. And here's a great illustration of that. If you go to Matthew, I'm sorry, if you go to Luke 19, Go to Luke 19, one of my favorite brothers who shows, because see, y'all get caught up on that feeling part of it. Love is part of a feeling, but love is really pretty much what you do. Amen. In Luke 19, I'm going to get back to Revelation. In Luke 19, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for us. Amen. I will die for you. And he actually did. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And so he's stopping by Jericho because he got an appointment. Amen. And what you understand about this, about your salvation experience, it was by appointment. Amen. You were saved at the right time, at the right place, by the right God. Amen. He knew exactly where you were. He came to you and he saved you at an appointed time. Look at this story here about Zacchaeus. Look at that. Verse chapter 19 says, he entered into Jericho, Jesus, and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He wasn't seeking to get saved. Amen. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up on a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Check this out. Verse 5 down, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, see that? A specific place. When he came to the place, the specific place right there, look, he looked up. And said, look, it was a specific time and place. He looked up, and guess what? And said to him, Zacchaeus, knew his name. Amen. He actually knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. And he says, look, hurry down, for I, look, look at the wording of this. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. He said, I must, you see that? I must stay at your house today. Not just they didn't where he wanted to. He says, I must stay. In other words, this is an appointment that I have with you. And guess what? This has got to happen. This has got to happen. I am coming to you at this point in time because guess what? Today is the day of your salvation. I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and came down and received him, look, joyfully. Is that word again? Rejoicing. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Those are people on the outside. He has gone in, what? With sinners, you know, and they didn't like that. But verse 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, this is what happens when you fall in love. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. Nowhere in the Bible told him to do that. He just, this is something he wants to do. Why? Because he's in love with Jesus. He's in love with God. He's in love with the Holy Spirit. And he wants what? He wants to give half of his goods to the poor. And look, he says, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. Now I'm going to give you something on this that will even, because I know how some of your minds work. See, once he finished with all of this, this brother might be completely broke. You know what I mean? And here's my mathematical mind beginning to work. See, had it been me, I would try to save a little more than giving a little more. That's just me. Amen. So I would reverse the order. You know why? See, I would have gave the folk theirs first with the fourfold when I had more. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And that way, and then when I gave the half, I would have gave less. Yeah. Somebody met with mathematical mind problem. Yeah. See, the way he did it, he ends up with less. Because he gave away the half first, and now out of that half, he's going to pay them and give them their money back. See, my way, I would have paid them, got it? Gave them their fourfold, and would have came out of some of the money I'm going to give to the poor. But see, when you're in love, none of that stuff matters. You don't think about that. You don't make these calculated decisions. You know why? Because all he wanted, all he knew is that he was with Jesus. And so he wasn't thinking mathematically. Amen. He was thinking with a majestic mind that he was in the presence of a holy God. And guess what? No matter what I give away, if I need a God to take care. See, when you're in love with Jesus, you'll do those things where you'll give away everything. That's what I talk about the field. The guy says he found one pearl and sold all that he had with his body. When you're in love, all of a sudden you do all these things that you wouldn't normally do because you now have the true love, and that is in Jesus. And that's what God is saying. Go back to Revelation now, you'll understand it better. That's what he's saying. He's saying that, he said, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your love that you had at first. You don't no longer have that type of excitement. You're now thinking more about you than you're thinking about Jesus. And that's why the pandemic hit us so hard. It's because we begin to think of what we can do and what we couldn't do as opposed to what Jesus can do. When my total reliance is on him, I don't care what comes at me. I'm going to be okay. Why? Because I have the one who's in control of all things. He's what? He's the reason why the earth is still what? Rotating around the sun. He what? He maintains all things by the power of his word. And so when this pandemic hit, the first thing we did, we start trying to calculate, when I lost my job, do I have enough money? Or am I going to do this? And I'm going to do that, as opposed to praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm okay with you. Because I am with you. I'm in love with Jesus. And when you lose that first love and you put other things first, that's what that word meant. I told you, when it's got down to the point where it says protos agape, that's first love, amen? And what happened is we took that protos and put it with everything else. And everything else became first, and Jesus became just Jesus. And that's why every time something goes on, we think about how it impacts us, as opposed to what Jesus can get out of us while we're going through. And he says, in order for you to get this, in order for you to keep having what? Rejoicing always. In order for you to what? To continue to have your faith, to continue to have hope, he says, you got to realize who loves you. Amen. There was a show a long time ago, and I forget what it's called. It's telling us about this one. He said, who loves you, baby?
Kojak.
Kojak. Okay, it's Kojak. Yeah. Say, who loves you, baby? You gotta say Jesus. See, I don't think y'all say Jesus enough. There's a brother down the street from us down here in Gum Springs. And every time he says, I wasn't listening by saying Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Pastor Hall. That's all he said. Somebody say Jesus. And that's all he said. You know why? Because he wanted to keep Jesus on your mind. To understand who loves you. Despite what you're going through, sometimes you got to be remembered. You got to remember that Jesus loves you. We sing a song, right? What? Jesus loves me. This I. But see, some of y'all don't know that anymore. Because y'all don't think about it like that anymore. See, you're sophisticated now, and you don't think about those little nursery rhyme Sunday school songs you used to sing that meant so much to us because Jesus still loves you. And here's the thing that blows my mind. Even when I forget about him, he still loves me. Isn't that amazing? And that's why he gives them an opportunity. Are you back in Revelation? I can finish this text up. Because I can talk about this love thing and give you this picture of it. See, it is a feeling. But that feeling leads you to an action. Amen? And that's why I took it in Zacchaeus. Yeah, he was filled with joy, right? When he got saved and the Lord called him down, and what? It propelled him to do something. And the reason why that was so important is because, see, just a few days earlier, the disciples had met up with a rich young ruler who refused to do anything. And then Jesus told them, it's going to be hard for you rich brothers and sisters to get into the kingdom of God. And the apostles had just said, well, nobody can do it. And Jesus said, what? With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And then he gives them the example, what? In Zacchaeus. Because he was just as rich as the rich young ruler. You got it? So he leaves nothing to chance. He wants you to understand this, and he wants to show you how much he loves you. But he says, guess what? I just want to know if you love me. So go back to remember what it took to save you. How I came down through 42 generations. I was born of a virgin. I walked on this world, amen, for some 33 and a half years. I took all of the beatings and all of the wrath of God that belonged to you, and then I died for you. And then I got up. And guess what? I'm coming back for you. When you understand that type of love, it ought to get you to a point where you can depend on Jesus. Amen. He who died for you, how will he not give you all things? So Revelation. So what do you want? So Pastor, what do you want to get out of this? What three things? He says he has to get you when you abandon your first love. Amen. So he said, do three things. He says, remember. Amen. He wants you to remember. He wants you to remember. He wants you to recall. He wants you to recollect. He wants you to reflect on what? On what he's actually done for you and what it was like when you first got saved. That's what he wants you to recall that. That word, remember, means recall what it was like when you first got saved. And some of you have been saved for a long time, but guess what? You will never forget the experience of your salvation. Because you knew that you had changed. Amen? Your life was not the same. The Bible tells us what? If any man or woman be in Christ, they are what? A new creation. All things what? Were passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what? You had a brand new lifestyle. Somebody once said, "Well, I looked at my feet and they were new," or something like that. I think my hands were new and all. I like that, but I don't remember what it said. But what they were saying was everything in my life was new. I don't do things I used to do anymore. I don't go to places I used to go to anymore. I don't even have the thoughts I used to have anymore. Why? Because God saved me and he loved me enough and he showed me that love. And guess what? In return, I want to show him that love. And I want to recall that. I want to remember what it was like when I first got saved. Never forget that. Tell him, I can picture it like it was yesterday. Because we were going through some turmoil in our life and I will always remember the little things that God did in our life to reassure us that he was there with us. And that whole process, he said, I'm going to show you how much I love you. People always say, well, how come you love your daughter so much? Because she is just part of a package that the Lord gave me in the midst of my salvation. It was in that whole process that he used. And guess what? He saved her. We used to go in the cancer center at Georgetown Medical Center. And she was that too, like 2 years old. And she had all those friends. And we used to go in there and we would ask the people about what happened to the little girl over here. And they would say, oh, she's not here anymore. Or what happened to the little boy over there? Well, he's not here anymore. You don't know what it's like to be a parent. And you go in there and you're waiting for that phone call. And they're saying, guess what? You know what? She didn't. And you're there praying to the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you that I'm real. And he heals your daughter. You don't forget stuff like that. And then you go through 7 years of chemo and remission and all those types of things. And you were there and then that whole process. And you were journaling. And I can go back down and look at my journal. And I can show you how much the Lord loved me. Not her. Me. You know why? Because he knew that if he had taken her away, I'd have lost my mind. I'm being honest with you guys. I'd have been no good. Period. Done. He knows how much you can bear. And God says, guess what? I understand you. I love you. Just like Zacchaeus. He knew exactly what Zacchaeus needed. Let me blow your mind on this. You know what? He knew how much that appointment was set up for Zacchaeus. Probably about 20 to 30 years prior to Zacchaeus' salvation, the Lord had someone plant a sycamore tree. Huh? Y'all don't get that. Somebody get that on the way home. 20 or 30 years, that appointment he had already set for Zacchaeus to be saved, he has set that thing up. Somebody planted that sycamore tree. And they might have planted it for shade. They might have planted it. But see, God had the plan for Zacchaeus' salvation. And on that day, that tree had grown up enough, that's why he said, at that place, that appointed time, that guess what? Zacchaeus went up there on a tree that somebody else planted, what? Just for his salvation. God works all those things out. If you go back and look at your life, God worked those things out in your life where people came, situations came, but they were all there for your appointed time that you might be saved, to show you how much he loved you. Despite all the things you did try to not to get saved, God still saved you. Help me, somebody. He worked that thing out. And when he saved you, you were so much in love because you know what he did for you, and you were so excited. But as time goes on, we tend to forget those things, and we put other things before God. And what he's saying here in the scriptures, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Remember all those things I did for you to set you up on that day that I saved your soul and how excited you were. And now that I've kept you all these years, now you're forgetting who I am and you just give me the scrap left over your life and you don't put me in first place anymore. He said, remember. Remember what it was like. Remember what I did. Remember who you are. I love you. That much. He says, and once you recall that, and once you understand that, he said, repent. See that? Remember, therefore, where you at, and then repent. That's not hard, right? You understand what that means, right? We're going to that thing. He's not talking about a salvation, repent. You're already saved. He's talking about a confessional repentance of you identifying where you are and realizing where you are and repenting of that sin. This is not going to be in next week. I'm going to take my time on this one. Oh, God Almighty, I got one more script I want to take you to that'll give you a great picture of repentance. Some of y'all know where I'm already going. But it's right there in the 15th chapter. There you go. The 15th chapter of Luke. Amen. And look what it says. This is a good point. We're talking about recall and repent. It doesn't get any better than this. Look down to verse 17 of chapter 15 of Luke. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And verse 17 says this. But when he came to himself. Amen. When you come to yourself. When you remember, when you recall, when you recollect, when you reflect on the things that God has done for you, and all of a sudden, you what? You come to yourself, amen? You understand how much you have now neglected the God that saved you, neglected the God who has supplied your every need, neglected the God that has done all those great things in your life. When you come to yourself, he says, guess what happens? You will understand all the things, and you will say, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread when I will pray from hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's what I'm talking about, repentance. He said, we come to ourselves, and we understand God never left us. We left him. And I know now, God, how good you have been to me and all the things happening in my life. And guess what? I need to come back to you. Why? Because even if you don't allow those things to be fixed, I know you can. You will take care of me. You will comfort me when I need you. You will be all that I am because you are God. And you're able. He said, you ought to come back to him and realize that guess what? I am not even worthy of the salvation that you gave me. But God, I thank God that you did. He says, repent, come back, and let the Lord know. Because see, repenting actually means you just agree with God. That's what it means. It means you're turning from that way, and you're coming back. It don't have to be sin. Remember, we went over that. Sometimes it can be those things that easily beset you. things of weight that are taking you away. It doesn't have to be sin, but it's something that is taking the place of God. Why? Because he's no longer first place, and you put something else in first place, and it might even be yourself. He's saying, repent. Come to yourself. Understand who I am and understand who you are. And guess what? As bad as you think it is, I still love you. Isn't that amazing? He don't matter what, he still loves. Well, how do you know that? Just read the rest of the story. No matter what the Son had done, it said that when he was yet a far ways off, and the Father saw him, the brother jumped off the porch and ran to greet his son. And let me give you a little tidbit on that. In the old Jewish customs, it was just a bad mojo for a father to run after the son. Because the father was in what? A place of honor. And the son should have been running to the father. But the father loves you so much that guess what? He ran to the son. Why? Just to get him to understand, I still love you. Yes, that's how much he loves you. That when we messed up, when we repent, the Bible says he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us and to what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's how much he loves us. He said, come back to me. Remember. Repent. And then the last part he says, and then return to do the things that you began to do when I first saved you. So he wants us to do. He wants you to recall all the things in your mind and how exciting it was just to be with Jesus. Y'all know how it is. Come on now, some of y'all need that. Old. Some of y'all know how exciting it was when he first saved you. It was like, man, I couldn't wait for the doors of the church to be open. Oh my goodness, I would have opened them. I'm being honest. And closed. I remember Sister Fran telling me one time, she said that we used to go to church on Sunday. And she said that, and we would sit there and we would probably have something to eat. Then we'd go to another service to eat. She said, we would be in church all day long. Amen? Some of y'all said, oh, I can't do that. Some of y'all said, well, they were in church all long, they got on God. Help me somebody. But what I'm saying is that there ought to be an excitement about the Lord in your life. Yes. Amen? Yes. There ought to be some excitement that God, I remember when you saved me. I remember how exciting I was. I couldn't wait. You know, let me see another day that I might do something that would bring glory to your name. I wasn't thinking about me. Was not thinking about me at all. It was like, I didn't even exist anymore. It was like, what can we do today to please God? Yeah, come on, I know you, because see, you got the same spirit I got. You were saying the same way I was saying it. It's about the grace of God. I didn't do anything special to get saved. You didn't do anything special to get saved. We're just saved by the grace of God. What through the faith that he gave us, amen? And there's an excitement that comes on you. But guess what? You can't wait. We were telling everybody, we used to go on the streets of D.C., and it was dead out there, and we didn't care about getting mugged. We didn't care about getting robbed. We were there with the brothers, and we would share the gospel with them, and God took care of us, and guess what? No hurt, harm, or danger came to us. You know why? Because we were in love with Jesus. In love with Jesus. He said, you were just young and ignorant. No. Just in love. Amen. Love will make you do right. Amen. Make you come home early. Make you stay up all night long. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. When you're in love with Jesus. Amen. It was like I was so excited. And now I every now and then I gotta recall, I gotta remember what God has done. And I gotta go back and ask for the forgiveness because I know I haven't given him as much time as I used to. And I gotta begin to do the things I used to do when I first got saved. And that's the, you know what that was, because again, for all of us it's different. For me, it's just getting back into his word and just reading more than just to prepare a sermon, just to prepare. I get to the point where I would read the word of God because I'm preparing a sermon. I'm reading the word of God because I'm preparing the Bible then. I'm reading the word of God because I'm getting ready to counsel somebody. No, he said, no, just read the word of God. Word of God used to be fun to me because I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't a minister. I was just a saved folk, and I just wanted to read the Word of God, and I love the Word of God. But now I got to study. No, no. He said, remember and do the things you did when you first fell in love with me. Get into my Word just for the fun of it. Amen. And show you, let me show you. I got 66 love letters here, and I want to show you how much I love you. He said, read them for the enjoyment. He said, you used to come and pray to me. He said, now you only pray when you're going to go to bed. You only pray when you're going to get something to eat. You only pray when somebody was hurting. He said, you used to pray to me all the time. He said, you used to pray without ceasing. You were like, I was always on your mind. And you were always thinking about me. And you were always praying. And now it's like you have these stage prayers. I'm getting ready to do something, but let's pray. We're going to have a church meeting. Let's pray. We're going to have a Bible study. Let's pray. You know, it's like, we're not just doing the things like we used to do when we first got saved. He said, go back to those things. He says, when you do those things, guess what? He says, your faith will increase. He said, your spirituality will increase that to the point where you can go to church. I mean, you ain't got to pray. You already prayed. Everybody has been praying all week long. Now that's how to me. But if we've been praying all week and then we have a church meeting, now you go pray. Well, come on, what does that say? It's got to get to a point where you understand. And again, I know for each one of you are different. I got to close this thing out. But you got to understand what God is saying here. He's saying, I love you more than you love yourself. Go back to doing the things you first did. Remember what it was like to be in love with me. Not with a religion. Amen. Not with all this other stuff that we try to put this dressing in, this trimming on. He says, no, all in love with Jesus. I mean, somebody wrote a song that says, falling in love with Jesus. What is the best thing, what? I've ever, ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never neglected. I mean, words or something like that, but I love that song. You know why? Because what he's saying is, after what the scripture is saying, is that when you fall in love with Jesus, don't fall out of it. And begin to take them for granted. God is saying, I want you to remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Return to do the things that you did when I first saved you. Why? Because it was authentic. It was real. It wasn't put on. It was who God made us to be. Father, we thank you for this precious word of God. Help us, my Lord, to understand that you do have this thing against us, that we have lost our first love, you. God, help us to recall these things, and to remember from whence we have fallen, and to repent. And then to return to doing the things that we did when we first got saved. Lord, help this not just to be a session that we sat in on, but God, pierce our heart and help us to realize the reason why we fear, the reason why we fret, have confusion, and all of these other things in our lives is because you are no longer protos agape, our first love. May we return to you and love you the way you deserve to be loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. Y'all, it's all yours.